Good morning, everyone. And a quick apology to people on YouTube because I was late in clicking that go live button, so you missed out on the couple minutes of nice instrumental guitar music from Josh Snodgrass. Just a reminder that you can find Josh Snodgrass on YouTube, and that's he has lots of that great acoustic guitar hymns music there for you to enjoy. Good morning. It's a Wednesday morning, and it is good to be together. It is good to be awake, alive, redeemed, loved by God, gathered together by His Spirit, blessed to study His Word together. It is Andy Troutman's birthday today. I just found out. So Chip Bauer's on here. Make sure you wish your daughter a happy birthday today. Okay. Enough of that. Sorry. That was like a squirrel moment, like an ADHD moment. I had a Facebook notification pop up. So anyway, we are in Psalm 69 today. And this is actually a very somber and sober psalm. It's quite a contrast to Psalm 68 that we were in on Monday. Psalm 68 has to do with the ascension of Christ and His seating at the Father's right hand and His ruling over all things and gifting His church, the victory of Christ and by extension our victory in Christ. All that's wrapped up in Psalm 68. Well, today we're continuing this very Christ-centered focus of the Psalms, because I believe Psalm 69 really focuses on the agony of Christ on the cross, the agonies of Calvary. And so that is what we're going to be looking at this morning with Psalm 69. So let's pray and ask the Lord's help this morning. Father in heaven, we thank You that Your Son was willing to come and endure unspeakable agony for us and for our salvation. Lord Jesus, we thank You for being willing to suffer wrath and curse and condemnation and ridicule and shame and humiliation for us and for our salvation. Holy Spirit, would You help us to understand Your Word this morning? And would You breathe into us Your life and Your truth by Your grace and for Your glory, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Psalm 69. It's another somewhat lengthy one. So, to the choir master, according to Lilies of David. Save me, O God, for the waters have come up to my neck. I sink in deep mire, where there is no foothold. I have come into deep waters, and the flood sweeps over me. I am weary with my crying out. My throat is parched. My eyes grow dim with waiting for my God. More in number than the hairs of my head are those who hate me without cause. Mighty are those who would destroy me, those who attack me with lies. What I did not steal, must I now restore? O God, You know my folly. The wrongs I have done are not hidden from You. Let not those who hope in You be put to shame through me, O Lord God of hosts. Let not those who seek You be brought to dishonor through me, O God of Israel. For it is for Your sake that I have borne reproach, that dishonor has covered my face. I have become a stranger to my brothers, an alien to my mother's sons. For zeal for Your house has consumed me, and the reproaches of those who reproach You have fallen on me. When I wept and humbled my soul with fasting, it became my reproach. When I made sackcloth my clothing, I became a byword to them. I am the talk of those who sit in the gate, and the drunkards make songs about me. But as for me, my prayer is to You, O Lord. At an acceptable time, O God, in the abundance of Your steadfast love, answer me in your saving faithfulness. Deliver me from sinking in the mire. Let me be delivered from my enemies and from deep waters. Let not the flood sweep over me, or the deep swallow me up, or the pit close its mouth over me. Answer me, O Lord, for your steadfast love is good. According to your abundant mercy, turn to me. Hide not your face from your servant, for I am in distress. Make haste to answer me. Draw near to my soul. Redeem me. Ransom me because of my enemies. You know my reproach, and my shame, and my dishonor. My foes are all known to you. Reproaches have broken my heart, so that I am in despair. I looked for pity, but there was none, and for comforters, but I found none. They gave me poison for food, and for my thirst they gave me sour wine to drink. Let their own table before them become a snare, and when they are at peace, let it become a trap. Let their eyes be darkened so that they cannot see, and make their loins tremble continually. Pour out your indignation upon them, and let your burning anger overtake them. May their camp be a desolation. Let no one dwell in their tents. For they persecute him whom you have struck down, and they recount the pain of those you have wounded. Add to them punishment upon punishment. May they have no acquittal from you. Let them be blotted out of the book of the living. Let them not be enrolled among the righteous. But I am afflicted and in pain. Let your salvation, O God, set me on high. I will praise the name of God with a song. I will magnify him with thanksgiving. This will please the Lord more than an ox or a bull with horns and hoofs. When the humble see it, they will be glad. You who seek God, let your hearts revive. For the Lord hears the needy, and does not despise his own people who are prisoners. Let heaven and earth praise him, the seas and everything that moves in them. For God will save Zion and build up the cities of Judah, and people shall dwell there and possess it. The offspring of his servants shall inherit it, and those who love his name shall dwell in it. Amen. Amen. That's a powerful, powerful psalm of suffering, but of hope in the midst of suffering. And whenever I say something like this is about Christ on the cross, or about the agonies of Jesus and suffering for us, you should always ask what you should always ask, which is, where is that in the text? Where do we see that very clearly? And where we see it very clearly is verse 21. They gave me poison for food, and for my thirst they gave me sour wine to drink. This is exactly what they did to Jesus when he was on the cross and he was thirsty. They gave him basically red wine vinegar. I don't know if you've ever drunk vinegar. We had this thing several years ago where I used to really suffer with acid reflux really badly and would go through bottle after bottle of Tums. And we heard that apple cider vinegar was like the quick cure for acid reflux. And then we heard it was really good for other things. And so I've tried drinking it several times. I have absolutely no desire to drink apple cider vinegar. And I've tasted a little bit of red wine vinegar too. And it's just not, I mean, if you were thirsty, that's the last thing you would want in the world. It just makes your whole face turn inside out with the bitterness and the just awfulness of it. But that's really our key to know that this really is about Christ and about his suffering. And it really, I think it just encompasses the agonies of Christ. So Psalm 22 is another great psalm for the agonies of Christ in his suffering for us. We can see many aspects of Christ's suffering, his great thirst, his great crying out. Hebrews tells us that in the days of his flesh, Christ cried out to his Father with loud cries and tears to the one who was able to save him from death. And this Psalm 69 is an example of that. So how did Christ cry out with loud cries and tears to the one who was able to save him from death? Psalm 69 gives us those words. And we'll see there's some very specific language in this psalm that has to do with wanting to be saved from death. But the desperation, the loneliness, the unfairness of it all, verses 4 and 5 tell us that there's many who hate me without cause. They attack me with lies. So you know that Jesus was falsely accused, and there was a conspiracy among people who would naturally otherwise be enemies. So you had the Herodians who supported Herod, and the Sadducees who ruled the temple, and the Pharisees who hated Herod and who were kind of the grassroots religious leaders. The Herodians, the Sadducees, and the Pharisees, who normally hated each other, they all conspired together with lies to get Jesus. And he had done no wrong. What I did not steal, must I now restore. Now, the part of Psalm 69 that trips up Christians as we're reading this is verse 5, which says, O God, you know my folly. The wrongs I have done are not hidden from you. Well, there's two ways to sort of look at that. One is, of course, this was originally written by David. And so, you know, it part of the language is reflecting David's own life experience. But I think even more importantly, Jesus was made sin for us. So as he is dying on the cross, he knows two things simultaneously as he is dying on the cross. One is that he does not deserve what is being done to him, that it was uncaused. But secondly, that he deserves what is being done to him because he has been made sin for his people. So those two truths are very present in Jesus' mind, and we see that reflected here in verses 4 and 5. We see that Jesus is covered in dishonor, and it is for the sake of God. It is for the sake of God that he has been cut off. I've become a stranger to my brothers. Remember, all the disciples fled. An alien to my mother's sons, even the half-brothers of Jesus, the younger brothers, the younger sons of Joseph and Mary, they all disbelieved him and turned against him. But also his spiritual brothers, the disciples, all fled. So he was left utterly alone. Of course, John remained at the foot of the cross with Mary. But for the most part, Jesus was completely abandoned by both his biological half-brothers and by his spiritual brothers. This is another connection we see to something directly that Jesus said. For zeal for your house has consumed me. This is what Jesus said when he cleansed the temple earlier in Holy Week, just a few days before the cross. It was zeal for the house of God that caused him to want to cleanse out the temple. But of course, Jesus had also said that he had come as the new temple. He said, tear down this temple and I will restore it in 3 days. And he was talking about the temple of his body. So his body is the new temple, and we are his body if we are in Christ. So we are the new temple in Christ. The reproaches of those who reproach you have fallen on me. That's a powerful understanding of what's happening at the cross. Why is it that the Herodians, the Sadducees, the Pharisees, all the religious and political leadership in Israel, Jerusalem, Pontius Pilate, why would they all unite in their opposition against Jesus? It's because they hated God. They hated God. And so everyone from the drunkards who sat in the gate, making songs about Jesus, to the people he passed by on the street, to the most powerful, well-dressed religious leaders, they were all conspiring against Jesus and mocking him and jeering him and taunting him. And that sense of that rejection, that utter rejection by all of his people, is very present there in this psalm. But here we see what Jesus is praying for. What Jesus is praying for is deliverance from death, which is exactly what Hebrews tells us he prayed for. So this language of you know, deliver me from the deep waters, let not the flood sweep over me, or the deep swallow me up, or the pit close its mouth over me. That's all direct, specific language about death. And so Jesus is crying out with loud cries and tears to the one who is able to save him from death, Hebrews says, and Hebrews says that he was heard because of his piety. Answer me, O God, O Lord, for your steadfast love is good. According to your abundant mercy, turn to me. And Jesus was answered. He did receive the answer he looked for because he was resurrected from the dead. Two more quick things to look at, and then I have a song for us to close with this morning. We do something different to close out our time. Here we have the imprecatory part of Psalm 69. An imprecatory prayer is where you're calling down curses on your enemies, and it's not something to be done lightly, but we do see it repeatedly in the Psalms when it's in a just cause. And this is what Jesus is praying about Jerusalem, about Judah, about the people who had been known as the people of God, but were actually the people who hated God. And God poured out his wrath on Jerusalem in AD 70, about 40 years after Jesus hung on that cross. A generation went by in which they were given time to repent and to embrace the Savior whom they had crucified, and then God poured out his wrath on them. But that was, of course, not the end of the story for God's people, because God heard Jesus' cry, raised him from the dead, and saves people who seek God through him. When the humble see it, they will be glad. You who seek God, let your hearts revive. So we trust in God through Jesus Christ, and we can rejoice, be glad, and let our hearts revive. So although this is overwhelmingly a sad psalm, it has a joyful ending because God's rescue of Jesus set him on high. Look at that verse 29. Let your salvation, O God, set me on high. Jesus has been exalted, not only raised from the dead, but exalted to the highest place, the right hand of God the Father in heaven. And so there's a glorious answer to his prayer. And now there's rejoicing. All of heaven and earth can praise him because he has risen from the dead. He has conquered sin and death. And God will save his people. So even though Jesus called down curses upon the leadership and upon Jerusalem, and he foretold the destruction that was coming in AD 70, it's not the case that God's people will be completely abandoned. God's people will be saved. God's people will be built up. Those who love his name shall dwell in the land, shall possess it. And this land, of course, by Jesus has been expanded to the whole world. The new heavens and the new earth, the new Jerusalem that's coming. We will be there because of what he's done for us. We will have what he purchased for us. Amen. That's Psalm 69. And so I want to respond to Psalm 69 by singing a prayer together. Jesus, thank you. So I'll pray briefly, and then we're going to sing Jesus, thank you together. Father, thank you for the gift of your Son. Jesus, thank you for the gift of your life. Spirit, thank you for the gift of your word. Would you help us to worship you in response to all that Jesus is and all that he has done for us? In his name we pray. Amen. Amen. Jesus, thank you.
Once your enemy, now blood. Your blood has washed away my sin, Jesus, thank you. Father's wrath completely satisfied, Jesus, thank you. Once your enemy, now seated at your table, Jesus, thank
Amen. Thank you so much for joining us this morning, and I hope that you'll be able to join us again on Friday morning as we look at Psalm 70. Have a wonderfully blessed day in the Lord today.